The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
LaFondra looking to get cross side of Font. LaFondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
And by the time I finish this sentence, Reading were already 1-0 down yesterday. And I might as well just end the podcast there because we all know that Reading don't come back into games. Unfortunately, there was another 90 minutes of football after that as well for anybody who was a Reading fan because Reading lost again yesterday, conceding 4 goals again. And I've been joined by Matt to discuss a 4-0 loss at Nottingham Forest on the Umpire Rules podcast. Matt, how are you feeling this morning?
I think I've already gone through all the cliches on previous weeks, haven't I, of it getting boring and everything. Yeah, I don't know how much more of it I can take, to be honest.
And also joining us, Paul. Paul, are you also running out of cliches for this football team?
Absolute shit, aren't we? That's what we are. And there's no kind of like way of dressing it up. And yeah, it's going to be another fun one discussing how bad we are. Just every single area. Paul Ince is having more and more time as Reading FC manager, and we're definitely not getting better, are we, Alex?
We're not getting any better. But we get the joy and pleasure to discuss the fact that we might actually be getting worse. And yesterday's team news, Matt, was not exactly fun reading, if I'm honest. Because we got the news that John Swift was not in the squad. Lucas Zhao was not in the starting 11. Although Yakumete came back in and Scott Dan also came in, it was a team which was not one which looked particularly strong on paper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the minute you lose someone like John Swift, you know, I know we kind of have critiqued him in the past, but, you know, he's someone that's got over 10 goals and assists this season. You can't be taking someone out that, or someone of that caliber out of your team and thinking we're still going to be good, you know. And then to couple that with Lucas Zhao going out, yes, you had Yakumete coming in, but if you're going to choose Lucas Zhao or Yakumete up front, it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? You'd probably rather see Yakumete out wide anyway in that team. It's just disappointing. Obviously, we heard after the game that Swift was COVID. It seems like there's been a COVID outbreak. I think that's what Zhao had earlier in the week from what they were saying. Tom Holmes has got COVID, you know, so I guess it was the best that we could have had. You know, there'll always be the people that will say that, you know, if Zhao can be on the bench, why can't he start? But yeah, you know, it wasn't, like you say, it wasn't fun reading when you're walking to the ground. It kind of put a downer on it. You know, you were hoping to see Zhao starting. He wasn't. See Swift out as well. You're already thinking you're on the back foot.
And it didn't take long, Paul, for Reading to find themselves on the back foot because they conceded 17 seconds after kickoff. And I don't think we'd actually touched the ball before the ball was in the back of the Reading net.
No. You're absolutely right there. Tom McIntyre getting absolutely pulled apart there by Spence, who's an absolutely top quality player. He's surely going to be Premier League bound next season. Well, I guess he could sign for Forest as well. They could be in the Premier League as well, couldn't they, next season, or Middlesbrough. But you've got to say, just horrendous defending there down the left-hand side by McIntyre, who is not a centre-back, but still, that's pretty bad. The turn is... It's really good by Davis, isn't it? He's in such good form, but 17 seconds. I mean, it's great when you take the lead after that amount of time. It's amazing. But when you concede like that, you just question everything that's happened in the week leading up to it, because where's the shape? Where's the basic foundations of the team? They don't seem to be there. I mean, who's setting that up? It's Paul Ince, isn't it?
It makes a mockery of the quotes from the week, which were, we've spent the week working on defensive shape and cover because they got pulled apart within literally within 20 seconds. As you say, McIntyre gets ripped to shreds with one pass, which just cuts it between him and Hoylett. He's 2 yards away from, I don't think it's Spence who puts in the cross, but he's 2 yards away from the player who puts in the ball into Davis. And, you know, he's got a pretty good turn, as you say, in Southwood. Although it's not in the corner of the finish, he's 6 yards from goal, and Southwood's got very, very little chance of doing anything at that point. And we go 1-0 down, Matt, and it doesn't even seem like there was much in the way of response. There wasn't much in the way of fight or response from response from the crowd, but there wasn't. It was almost acceptance that we'd lost the game at that point already after 1 minute from both the players and the fans.
Well, it's because the stat of, you know, where we've only come back in 3 games from when we've gone behind. You know, I think it's like 7 points or something we've gained from losing positions. You know, it's there's something in this team where, and I think we've said it for quite a few years now, like, yes, every single year we've been talking about it. We've been, you know, a relegation fighting team, so maybe it's not surprising, but when this team goes behind, there's like you say, there's no real plan to come back into a game. Like, yes, I guess your plan's thrown out the window after you concede after 17 seconds, but you know, like, immediately once that goes in, it's just, here we go again. You know, we've seen this script 1,000 times before. You know, we've seen these players crumble in the second halves 1,000 times before, and it's just getting boring. It is getting so boring watching a team that just has just a complete ineptitude seemingly going forwards at the moment, and just so defensively and mentally fragile.
I wouldn't. I mean, I get it is boring, Matt, but I'd say it's just really depressing. It is so predictable. You know,
depressing,
what's
boring.
It's semantics, isn't it? Yeah, we can choose our own like word phrases for it, but for me, it's just depressing watching us because you know what's coming, and we will talk about this a bit later. Obviously, going into more depth. But in the second half, as soon as Forest started to get some pressure, you thought it's coming, isn't it? And once that second one goes in, you know what's going to happen. But yeah, staying back on the first half, I thought after the goal, we kind of come back into it slightly. And it was even-ish in that first half, Alex. But wow, there was some really horrible stuff to come.
Yeah, I mean, it was even-ish. Reading didn't create a whole ton of chances. It was even, I guess, in the sense, very similar to the other games we've seen under Paul Ince in the first half, where neither team has really created a great chance, particularly, although there's been some goals. Neither team's created great chances in any of the first halves that we've seen under Paul Ince so far. And it was kind of similar in yesterday, to be honest, after the first goal went in. Up until Reading had a corner 25, 30 minutes in, I think. And we had basically our two best chances of the game came from this corner with a goalmouth scramble. Tom McIntyre, maybe I think Tom McIntyre's chance is a difficult one. He's going through bodies about 7 or 8 yards from goal. But I really feel that Morrison should score the rebound. He's got a free shot of goal from, 3 yards out? And he's hit it basically straight at the keeper. And it would have been it's a game changer to equalise, obviously. But the game would have played out so differently had Reading got an equaliser in that first half, you'd imagine.
Possibly, yeah. And like you say, when you've got a chance 3-4 yards out like it was, it's not an exaggeration that, you know, you've got to be getting in somehow, especially when you're in a situation like we are. It's easy to say, I know, but it's like, you know, this team seemingly under Paul Ince isn't creating chance after chance after chance, you know, and when you get a chance like that, you've just got to take it. And I mean, good save by the keeper, right place, right time, you can call it whatever you want. But, you know, Morrison, he's got to be doing something with it there. You know, you've simply got to score those chances, you know, because like I say, you're not going to get many chances like that seemingly under Paul Ince, because we're not, like, attacking we just don't really seem to be a team that's making many chances.
I think if it's a striker, he scores there. I think that's the issue, isn't it? It's fallen to Morrison, who's obviously a centre-back. And I know it's kind of...
I'd hope any football player would be able to score that, though. You're 3 yards.
Yeah, but come on, players do miss chances. If you saw the Fulham game earlier, which you probably didn't see as you were driving there, the miss by Harry Wilson, the header.
I did see that on Quest, actually. That was just unbelievable.
This is what happens, though, isn't it? I mean, that's a far, far easier chance than the Morrison one yesterday. He hasn't even got a goalie in his way. And he's an attacking player, Wilson, but let's not start talking about Fulham too much. But I do think the better chance, really, was the Josh Lauren one, because I know he doesn't score that many goals, but to not actually get that on target, Alex, that was a bad error.
Yeah, so the Tom Ince with a pretty good run down the left-hand side for this chance. Surprisingly, it's come down the left for Tom Ince, despite the fact he plays in the right wing. His best moment really came on the left-hand side here, creating the chance for Josh Lauren. And he's lobbed a ball in once he's got into the penalty area, Tom Ince, to Josh Lauren. And the header is probably 7 yards from goal, 8 yards from goal, I think. And it's not a terrible effort from Josh Lauren, Matt. But I feel like he's, from the away end, I thought he got wiped out as he took the header. I didn't think it was a penalty or anything, but it looks like he's kind of been hit as he's headed it. Watching the replay, I don't think he has. I think he's kind of been, he's just headed it at a kind of an awkward angle. And it's gone just wide. He probably, having seen the replay, probably should do better at.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to say this quite a few times though, aren't we, about seemingly chances for this team. But like, yeah, in my opinion, I'm more looking at the Morrison miss than the Laurent miss, because you know he was still 7-8 yards out or so with the header. You know, it's not a simple header. You'd want him to get it on target, but to be honest, if I'm looking at the two chances, Morrison from 3 yards out over the header from Morrison, the header from Lauren, sorry, even when it is, you know, Morrison taking a shot from 3 yards, that one sticks in my memory a lot more than the Lauren header, I have to say.
And the first half, Paul, we actually picked up 3 yellow cards in that first half as well. Tom Ince picking up a yellow card very early on for dissent against the referee. Drinkwater picking up a yellow card as well. And Yeardom also getting a yellow card. And I was convinced that Drinkwater was going to get himself sent off yesterday, because he just couldn't make a challenge at all. And in every challenge he gave away 3 fouls in the first half after getting his yellow card as well. And honestly, I was very surprised that he wasn't sent off at some point.
Yeah, well, if you look at the second goal, I think if he wasn't on a yellow, he pulls him down there, doesn't he? That's what happens there with Davis. He's going to kind of trip him up, pull him back. He's going to give away a free kick there. I mean, I don't think that's the reason why we lost. I think there's lots of other issues there. I think yesterday was the first time we saw a really angry Reading team. And I don't mean with everyone. I mean with themselves. They seem to be angry with all the other players. And this is a real sign of a team that's breaking up. Well, it's Paul Ince that's probably kind of trying to engineer that anger and bring that out in the team, and responsibility and senior players trying to motivate younger players or just other players, basically.
You could see this after every goal. That every goal, there was one or two or three players who had an obvious reaction to a goal going in. The first goal, Morrison turns around and shouts at McIntyre as soon as the goal goes in. It's the first thing Morrison does. The third goal goes in, and Morrison and Dan have exactly the same reaction. Mate had the same reaction, hands up in the air, like no idea how we've conceded it. You can see the players are now beginning to lose faith in each other. If that makes sense, there's very little belief in each other at this point. It looks like when they concede goals, they almost seem to, as you say, blame each other and getting frustrated and angry now at each other, as opposed to being a team, inverted commas.
I'm sure if you spoke to them in the training ground, I bet that they wouldn't admit to it. But there seems to be issues.
I'm sure if we were to see social media posts come out from the club, they'd say, oh, it's all about spirit and belief and being a team. But we can all see it on the field that they don't buy into each other at the minute. So it's what happens on the field that matters, not what happens on the internet, unfortunately for them. And the second half was just, it's just crap. Honestly, it's crap. I'd love to try and describe it like in any other way, but it's just rubbish. We had we had one shot in the second half, and that was it.
But was it 4-0? It was 4-0 at that point.
It was 4-0 at this point. Yeah, we had one shot. Like,
does it really matter? I mean, it doesn't, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It doesn't. No, the shot is irrelevant. We had three subs. We ended up playing some kind of formation with Ovie Ejaria playing defensive midfield at one point because he's been brought on to play centrally. I have no idea. It's so difficult to try and describe what the game plan was to try and get back into the game because there just wasn't one. And Reading, I think this might be the earliest sub we've seen under Paul Ince, Matt, because Reading made a sub after 59 minutes with Ovie Ejaria coming on for Andy Rinomota, who also had an inexplicably poor game yesterday. Every time he touched the ball, he seemed to lose it.
57 minutes. I think we all nearly were in shock and awe that we've actually tried to change something on the front foot. It was a surprise. I think it's probably one of the earliest subs we've seen all season as well, not just under Paul Ince. But yeah, 57 minutes bringing Ovie Ejaria on. I mean, like you say, Rinomota was dreadful. He was like, well, there was a lot of bad players on the pitch, but first half, he couldn't do anything right. You know, very much like Drinkwater, Hoylett, you know, McIntyre, like the list was endless yesterday.
We'll have to come back to Hoylett when we discuss his substitution.
Yeah, because I think there's been a lot of eyes on other players compared to Hoylett, I think, just due to circumstances. But yeah, but I mean, Rinomota was, he was as bad. Like that's as bad of a performance as I can remember from Rinomota in a long, long time. But you bring Ejaria on, you think he's probably, we might switch to a 4-2-3-1. Yes, you've got Laurent and Drinkwater then in a holding midfield, but at least you've got Ovie up the pitch. You know, he can maybe try and play as a number 10 role, fill a kind of Swift kind of role. But he ends up, like you say, in defensive midfield. And it was just so odd, you know, and you see it in the goals that then happen, how easily he's turned and everything, because he's not a defensive player. It's just the most baffling. Well, not substitution. I can understand the substitution, but the game plan after there, and it's seemingly what's happening at the moment. Like we're a team, you know, devoid of confidence. Losses, you know, racking up since, you know, November, October last year. Can't seem to buy wins, and we're bringing on players to play in just positions that are just totally alien to them. And just completely illogical to play them in those positions. I mean, what is Ovie Ejaria going to do playing defensive midfield when we're chasing a game 1-0? Like,
nothing. He's not his role at all, is it? You might as well put Luke Southwood up front. I mean,
I will say, Ejaria did at least win the ball a couple of times, which was more than can be said for some of the other players on the field.
He did.
I'm not saying I wanted him to play there, but hey, he did something. So,
but it's just illogical, and it's just like I say, just when you're chasing a game 1-0, even if you're defending a lead, you're not going to bring Ovie Ejaria on to play centre defensive midfield, are you? Like, but it's just like I would love to see a plan in this team going forwards, because there is just, you can't see anything. There is no planning. Like we said with the first goal, they're talking about defensive shape that they've worked on all week. That's complete bollocks, because that's gone out the window after 17 seconds. You know, you then go behind, you have a first half which is just so flat, and then you have a second half where you just capitulate yet again. How many times are we going to see this? Like, how many times are we going to have to go to games watching a team just completely inept of ideas, structure, formation? Like, I mean, I couldn't even tell you a formation that they were playing. Like I say, it looked like Ovie was playing defensive midfield, but like,
I feel like if we were to ask the players or Paul Ince or any of the coaching staff what the formation was meant to be or what the plan was meant to be, I think you would get a very different answer from everyone. Versus what the fans probably saw yesterday, because it was very different on the field as opposed to what they probably wanted it to be. And it didn't take long for that substitution to basically become irrelevant, because 62nd minute, Keenan Davis got his second goal of the game. It's a really, you know, I want to say it's a good goal, but ultimately it's just a bit of crap defending once again. He picks up the ball about 25 yards out and he gets not a free run at goal, Paul, but he beats two players very easily with a turn before kind of just shoving or shrugging off Drinkwater, who's put in a very kind of meek kind of attempt to try and shoulder barge him. And it's a reasonably good finish into the corner of the goal, and it's 2-0 and it's game over.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Forest fan, you'll say that's a quality goal. But from a Redden point of view, Scott Dan looked about 65 there with that turn, didn't he? Just absolutely ripped him apart.
That's so generous to a 65 to Scott Dan. Sorry,
but Scott Dan, I'm not going to start like on him. But on that moment, he looked. Yeah, you could tell there was an age difference there, definitely, and just the sheer quality of speed and pace and turn, and also the Scott Dan's been out for 2 months or so, so we should remember that as well. So, but you look at the situation when being chased back there by Drinkwater, he's just not gonna pull him back, is he? Because he knows he's going to get a red card, as I mentioned before. But does he really get close enough to even pull him back? I'm not sure.
Not really. He puts an arm in very late, just before the shot comes across, and that's it. But I mean, as I said at the game, if he had been sent off, I'm not sure it would have made a difference, like realistically, to the overall performance.
If he wasn't in the lineup on Tuesday or whenever we're playing Bournemouth, would everyone be disappointed or happy?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just make a quick observation though as well? Because like, how many like it's all well and good saying about Scott Dan looking 65 and everything, but like how many times Scott Dan is 10 yards in front of the back line, and how many times are Reading defenders, one Reading, like be it Holmes, Morrison, Scott Dan, McIntyre, they have all been just guilty of doing this so many times this season, where they push 10 yards further forward, seemingly from the rest of the defensive line, completely stuffs the defensive line. And then, you know, Keenan Davis has almost got, you know, a free run in front of him, because all he's got is a rather feeble Drinkwater trying to chase him down from behind, because Scott Dan has come 10 yards out.
They're all too keen to win the ball back straight away. They're all so keen to try and win the ball back and basically clear any defensive issue that might be there, that basically they end up making it worse for themselves every single week, because of the fact that they panic when the ball is within 10 yards of them and there's a player who's
got to have some sort of brain though. Like, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday at the game, Alex, like the footballing intelligence, and we've said this to be fair so many times before, but the footballing intelligence of this team is one of the worst I've ever seen of a football team, literally ever. They just like seemingly they just come out and they just look like you say, that they're just, it's just panic stations whenever a ball gets them, even if they've got the ball at their feet. Drinkwater, when he tries to spray a stupid pass 40 yards to nobody, you know, be it in defense when you're getting someone running towards them and they just dive out, it's just complete and utter panic. And they're like you've got experienced players here. Scott Dan, 300 odd Premier League appearances, you know. You've got Morrison, you know, 400-500 caps at the Championship level, and it's just stupidity every single week.
Yeah, well, the problem is, if you're Scott Dan, is that there's no other leadership around you, is there? So what do you do? You do something.
You've got Morrison next to you, who's been a captain at Birmingham for five years.
I think there is leadership within the squad. I think this is something, because they were talking about this in Paul Ince's interview, that I think we played five players over the age of 30 yesterday within the team.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's fine.
It's character.
Are they in the leadership at the moment?
Yeah,
I think some of them should be, but I don't think they are. I think that's the issue. You look at all the games that they've played, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that makes total sense. You'd want them in the team. We're in a terrible situation. But are they being those characters that you want them to be? I don't think so.
I agree. It's easy for us to say, yes, they've been leaders here, there, and everywhere. But actually, none of them really act like a leader. None of them really step up and, you know, do anything to try and change how the team are acting. So it's difficult to kind of say that they are being leaders right now. And, you know, even if they were in the past, the game kind of continues on, Matt. And another 10 minutes go by. Lucas Yao eventually comes on and Danny Drinkwater comes off, probably predictably, because he, again, like Renamoto, was having a very, very bad game. And he's been on the field all of 2 minutes, Paul, when Ryan Yates gets a shot away from 25 yards. And this one is next to Southwood. There's zero excuse for him not to save this. And if Raphael had conceded this, I would have gone ballistic, because it was another long range effort where.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The keeper should save it, frankly. It's a really, really poor piece of goalkeeping. And as much as people can get on Southwood's back for not coming to Kane crosses and making errors, this is just a poor attempt at saving a shot. And it's, yeah, really, really awful.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with any of what you've said there. If it was Raphael, he'd get absolutely blasted for that. Obviously, he's no longer at the club. But that's just, it's terrible. It's not good. And it seems to be that Southwood has got absolutely zero confidence now. And you can see how this has happened. He's made a lot of mistakes. You can't dress it up. He's an academy player. But he's just not good enough at the moment, is he? And he had a good 7 or 8 games at the start when he first came in, but he was still making errors and getting away with them, which was fine. We wanted that to continue, obviously, and gain confidence and start making those mistakes. But now you're never sure what's going to happen with him. When I watched it back initially, I thought, oh, is there a deflection on that shot? No, there wasn't. That was just really poor goalkeeping. It's not even near to the post, Alex. It's basically central.
It's as central as a shot from 25 yards is going to be. And, you know, I think 90% of the goalkeepers in the Football League will save that shot. It's a
95, I'd say, at least.
It's a very, very poor goal to concede for a goalkeeper. And, I mean, at that point, the game, we'd obviously said the game was over, but at that point, there's almost no point in Reading trying to compete for the last 10 minutes because Forest have wrapped the game up and they'll just play the game out with the ball. We do bring Barker on for the last 10 minutes, Matt, who came on for Junior Hoylett. And Junior Hoylett yesterday was the source of so many of my frustrations. I mean, not just him solely, but he's so ineffective out on the left wing because he has no left foot. So every time he runs forwards, he cuts back to knock it backwards to someone who's got a left foot to put the ball in because he doesn't have the pace to beat a man and then cut back to his right foot. I think I'm kind of over Junior Hoylett. I don't see what he brings to the team. I don't see what he adds. I know Tom Ince gets a lot of stick because he's, you know, obviously in the situation that we're in with Paul Ince as his dad and the manager and the fact that he's on the field. But ultimately, I think Junior Hoylett is playing worse. He's just so ineffective. I don't see what he's adding or bringing to this team at all. I think we'd be better off starting Ajaria, Barker. We've got so many wingers now in the squad. And I don't know what Hoylett does to deserve these starts at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, I lost count of how many times, you know, Hoylett, like you said, had the ball down down on the left, and yet he couldn't get across it, and he passed it back. You're praying for him to try and just get a ball into the box, and I can't even remember if he even made a cross yesterday. You know, it was one of the worst performances I've seen from a winger yesterday with Højlund, quite frankly, and it's becoming a recurring theme. Like we say, Ince has had a lot of criticism, you know, probably more because of circumstances around himself, his dad at the club, like you say, but Højlund, I mean, I can't see how he can start on Tuesday night, because it's just his performances aren't getting any better. I mean, I think he had one good game against, he was okay against Birmingham, but again, it's easy to say a player was good when they win a game. You know, in every single game that we've lost so far, you know, he has been absolutely dreadful. You know, he's been as bad as, you know, people have been portraying Tom Ince to be. Yesterday, Tom Ince was pretty good, to be fair. Of all the players that, you know, were playing yesterday, he's probably one of the players that were okay. He was making good runs. He was drawing fouls, you know, which was more than a lot of other people were doing. But I mean, is Højlund running out of gas? Is he just, is he hiding in a team that's struggling? You know, I think it's much more of the latter. He just looks like he's almost hiding in this team, or certainly seems to be, because nothing really is coming from him at the moment. And I mean, Baker comes on, and immediately one of the first things I remember him doing was just a drive forwards. Like, is there much quality with him? That's probably up for debate. You know, some of the corners he put in were utterly dreadful, but at least on the pitch, one of the first things that he did when he came on, picked up the ball in his own half and ran forwards, you know, which again, you're not really seeing from Højlund. He's getting the ball and he's turning back, you know, there's nothing really in Højlund that's taking him forwards anymore.
I think one of the major issues with Ince is that we've got Yaku Mate, who plays in his position, and he's not coming on in games normally. I know he started yesterday, but you've got to think, come on, Yaku Mate needs to be on that pitch. We need goals. Like last week against Millwall, he's not coming on until 5 minutes to go or something, which is totally ridiculous. You need a goal. And for Paul Ince then to come out this week and then say, oh, he's not fit, he can't start matches. I know managers come out of this to kind of like sideline other managers, and I don't know, it's all bollocks really. But you think, come on. Who would you rather have in that team, Yaku Mate or Ince? It's going to be Mate.
I'd have Mate over Højlund though right now. And at least with Mate on the left, you'd have a left-footed player on the left rather than Højlund, who's right-footed.
Well, you'd have Ajaria, wouldn't you, instead of Højlund?
Yeah, but Ajaria again's right-footed. So
I'd have anyone but Højlund at the moment because he's not playing well, is he? So you've got to exchange it up.
But I'd be taking out Højlund before Ince right now, because Højlund, quite frankly, is just, he's useless in the team. Yeah,
my point was, Matt, I was talking about when he doesn't come on. That was my point. I would, if you're going to have Ince, that's fine, but I would have Mate in the team every single time.
I think we can agree that all of our wingers currently are pretty ineffective. Like, it doesn't matter who we're talking about. They're all pretty ineffective because we don't create any chances. So none of them can be doing a particularly great job. Forrest knocking the fourth. To be honest, we're not going to discuss the fourth, because what's the point? It's the same as every other goal Reading concede. It's a goal from the right-hand side, gets whipped in. There's only two defenders at this point, because we've made three attacking subs to try and get back into a game when we're 2-0 down. And then concede again. It's a reasonably good finish from Sam Surridge from 12 yards out after the ball's been put into him. First time finish, 4-0, game's over after 80, well, game's done at 80 minutes, and Reading's goal difference has taken another battering. So we'll move on, Paul, to the after-match comments from Paul Ince, which were confusing, I think, is probably the best word for them. Some of the comments were a little bit just odd. There was a lot of use of we and they when he discussed players and teams. The way he conducted that press conference, it doesn't make it sound like he's bought into being part of the group, if that makes sense. And it's just essentially him versus the players.
Yeah, which I think is the mentality that he's trying to bring, isn't it? He's trying to bring anger into the team. And I think he's also trying to distance himself from the team when we're not good. I think that's what he's trying to say. It's their responsibility, not mine, which ultimately is your responsibility, Paul, because you can't just distance yourself from the team and only be associated when we're winning. I'm sure he'd disagree with those comments, but it felt like he was doing that because, like you say, he was alternating between we, they, us. It was very odd. It was really strange. And I know sometimes that can happen when you're probably having interview repeatedly, and he's probably done two or three before and he's doing them all the time. But it did feel like kind of, I'm not responsible for that bit. That's down to the players on the pitch. And ultimately it is. I'm sure he didn't say to him, go out there and act like absolute dickheads for the first 20 seconds and then cost us the whole of the game and not defend properly. But come on, he was only 2 weeks ago, he was saying, oh, it's going to be good because we're going to have more time to create shape defensively because we got space in between games. And now he's had that time and we don't look any better. I mean, it's not like it's the first time we've conceded four goals this season. So that's not a new thing. That's not just Paul Ince. But the interview itself was, it was weird. It was weird. And I really hope it's one of the last ones we hear from him, because I want to get a proper manager in, and he's not that guy. He really isn't.
He's not long-term, no. Matt, I don't know if you picked up the interview yesterday, but the other quote which really stuck with me was around Paul Ince said to the players, I don't want to see any of this ticky-tacker crap anymore like you've been doing for the past year, which I found very ironic because yesterday, a lot of the, in inverted commas, game plan was knock the ball long to Yaku Mate to win the header, for Yaku Mate to run on to win the ball, for Yaku Mate to then create his own chance. That's not a style of play, unfortunately, which is ever going to win you a game of football. So I found it quite ironic that he doesn't want the team to play in the same style of football that they've been playing for the last year, but the style of play that we've played for the last, what, three matches now has created basically zero chances in the area for in all three games.
Well, it's like what we're saying actually just about there just being no plan at the moment. I mean, like, Paul Ince seems to be, you know, the king of saying the obvious things to say, you know, like coming out after the game yesterday and saying that performance was embarrassing, you know, the players are mentally weak. Yeah, we bloody know this. We've seen this for three, four bloody years. We don't need to be told this. What we need to see is actual actions, changes in the team, changes in form, changes in style. You know, it's all well and good, like say, saying, you know, stuff this ticky-tacky rubbish, but it's not three, four games ago when he took over, when he said that, oh, we look like Barcelona against Preston, you know. And you just think, like, he's just coming out with these obvious quotes with just no substance behind them.
In the Preston one, though, he did also say in the second half of that match, it did look like he did understand why we were in the situation we were, because we can't defend.
He did Barrow, make it very...
Barrow, not Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone, I see a lot of people saying that, quoting that one on social media, saying about the Barcelona. And yeah, he did say that. But I also remember that he did also point out that, yeah, we were basically shit when put under any pressure, which we did. We got away with it against Preston because we should have conceded the third goal against Preston. There's no doubt on that. And I'm glad we didn't, but it kind of hid the fact that we are still pretty, not pretty, we are shit, aren't we? I mean,
we
come
are.
On.
Yeah, but it's
our defensive record is absolutely atrocious. Well, it's embarrassing. It's shocking. It's horrendous.
I mean, to concede 72 goals in a season is bad enough. 72 goals after 36 games?
Yeah, we're currently on course to concede 92.
It's just shocking. And you're not going to stay up if you're conceding that many goals. You know, we've conceded like 20 goals more already than virtually everyone in the league. Like, and yes, you could say, oh, we're down near the bottom. But it's just dreadful. And it's like so many times we're just sat there watching 3-4-0 drummings. Like I say, it's just getting depressing. It's just boring. It's shit.
Can we beat 106 in the worst way possible? That is the question, isn't it?
107, we've got the record. I don't know if that's ever going to pick up as a chant at the Medeski going forwards. But
you've got to laugh because it's so bad, haven't you?
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And I mean, yeah. I'm sure plenty of crying will happen for the rest of the season because we're not going to pick up many wins. And the only other person who Reading fans heard from after the game yesterday was Josh Laurent, who, Paul, again, at this point, the fans don't want to hear from the players because the players are saying the same thing week after week and people are just bored and fed up of it at this point. The reaction pretty much from what I've seen of the comments that Josh Laurent came out with, you know, we've got to find spirit and belief and this, that and the other. All the comments I've seen have pretty much just been, don't care. Just don't be so shit.
I don't know. I think if he doesn't come out, they get even more abuse. So I understand.
I think it's at the point where people don't want to hear from them because
some people don't.
It's just platitudes, right? Like it's platitudes.
Some people don't want to hear, but I suspect there are some people because if they don't come out, they say, "Oh, they bottled it. Why have they not come out? And why haven't they said something?" So that's a tricky one. I mean, I doubt Josh Laurent was absolutely gagging to come out and make comments after that match. Who would be?
Probably not.
Nobody. No, probably nobody not. Would be. You know, it's like I don't see anyone else standing up to do it, but I don't know how the rotation system works with that. So that's a difficult one to talk about. But I don't know. You can't win there. You really can't win.
No, well, you can't win when you lose. Pretty much is the way it works, unfortunately.
Which is pretty much just every week, isn't it? So yeah.
As the chant goes, you're nothing special because we lose every week. That's 3 losses in a row and 11 losses in 15 now. We did get some good fortune yesterday, it must be said, because none of the teams below us can win either because they're also not very good. Barnsley managed to throw away a winning position against Fulham at home, which was very fortunate for us because Barnsley dominated the first half against Fulham at home. So the gap is now down to 4 points with Derby losing as well. They don't close up on us and we've still got a game in hand. The game in hand, let's be honest, is irrelevant because we don't pick up many points. So probably not worth anything. And Peterborough, although they didn't lose, they managed to come from behind twice against Stoke at home, pick up a point, and they're now 6 points behind us. I want to ask, are we going to go down, Paul? But I just don't. It's nobody really knows at this point because we're still 4 points clear of Barnsley. But also, the mood is so negative. If I asked Reading fans on social media at this point, it's going to be 90% of people are going to assume we're getting relegated, right?
Yeah, but if you ask that to Barnsley, Peterborough, Derby fans would say exactly the same, and not all of those teams can go down. One of them's going to stay up, aren't they? So it's kind
whichever of whichever team stays up this year owes the other teams a giant thank you, and they should be sending them something in the post over summer.
It's been that way for quite a few seasons out of the last 5 or 6 for Reading, though, hasn't it? I mean, we've been absolutely dire in kind of 4 out of the last 6 or so, because obviously 2 of them we've got to, one of them a playoff final and the other one 7th, but it's really odd how we've done that. But do I think we're still going to stay up? Yeah, weirdly, I still think we will if Lucas Jow and John Swift stay fit, because those two players are enough to keep us up, because the two teams, well, not two teams, the 3 teams below us don't have players of that quality. And hopefully that will be enough. We're going to concede a load more goals. We're going to lose matches. But the teams below us aren't going for the playoffs. They aren't going to suddenly win 5 or 6 games on the trot. Just not going to happen.
How many wins, Matt, do Reading need to get to stay up?
How many wins? Probably 3. If you get to 38 points, you stay up. But I can't agree with you, Paul. I really can't. I know, you said before, Alex, about, 90% of Reading fans will say that we'll go down, but it's like, I just can't even see us getting a win. I can't even see us going to Oakwell at Barnsley and when we play them April and getting a win, because we just can't buy a win. And at least a team like Barnsley seemingly have had a resurgence at home. At least they've got something to cling on to. They've got home form. You know, they were dreadful before. I think it's like run of 4 games or something, isn't it, that they're unbeaten at home. It's just little things like that. We don't even have a little thing like that to cling on to right now, you know. But I think 3 wins, 38 points, you know, Barnsley needing to get, what would that be, 13 points?
Barnsley would need to get 14 points then in 10 games to finish above us.
Which you'd think would be a stretch. But like I say, I where are those 3 wins going to come from? I wouldn't even be able to give you Barnsley away as a win right now. You know, I've seen enough of this team this year, sadly.
We've all seen enough of the team. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to watch the last 10 games of the season, I'm sure. But unfortunately, there's still 10 games to go. We've got Bournemouth away midweek, followed by Blackburn next weekend. We'll be back with podcasts for both of them, unfortunately. Or fortunately, depending on how much you enjoy the podcast. If you have enjoyed the podcast, please do subscribe. And on another note of news, not related to Reading Football Club, thankfully, Blue Collar Food opened Blue Collar Corner this weekend. Paul, we were fortunate enough to go down on Friday for the soft launch, I think it was described as. Excellent venue, great beer, lovely food. And I think I would urge all Reading fans to go and try it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Go, go, go. Don't hesitate. Go there, sleep there, wake up there, drink there, eat there. Just do everything there. Live your life there. Work there. Just be there. Thursday to Sunday, that's it. There's no excuse. That should be your life from now on.
It's going to be an ideal spot, I think, for people to, you know, go pre-match to. It opens at 11 a.m. on a Saturday. You can go there, have a pre-match, have your pre-match blue collar. Get yourself to the stadium on Saturday before the game against Blackburn. Fully recommend it. It's on Hosier Street, behind Broad Street Mall. So, yeah, get yourself down there. We'll be back after the Bournemouth game in midweek. Hope you can all join us then. Cheers.